We're spending the hour with a political organization called Veterans for Responsible Leadership. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's made up of thousands of veterans founded by a former Navy SEAL and emergency medicine physician. It's a nonpartisan group promoting political leaders who exhibit character, integrity, trust. The group fiercely opposed former President Trump and continues to do so. Are you a veteran? What do you think about former members of the military who storm the Capitol seeking to overturn the election? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. Mike Smith is Executive Director of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. He served as an officer in the Navy for more than 12 years, primarily as a F-18 fighter pilot with three deployments to the Western Pacific. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We also have Dr. Daniel Barkoff, who is president and founder of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Dr. Barkoff, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, Dr. Barkoff, let's start with you. What was your reaction to the attack on the Capitol on January 6th in an attempt to overturn the election?
Sure, yes. The attack on January 6th was one of those events in our kind of national history that is really going to be something that's going to take, you know, the rest of our lives. We're going to be dealing with the consequences of that. I think immediately it was apparent that when it occurred, just how deeply this kind of injured our faith in the constitutional fabric of our society. I won't speak for other vets, but I can tell you, I looked at, you know, the photos coming out of there, and part of me was looking for people I recognized because, the problem and the polarization amongst veterans is so deep. And in addition to looking for faces that I recognized, I was just appalled that, so many of these folks were veterans and frankly, so many of these were veterans who were leading, not even just following these other rioters.
Mike, were you surprised multiple veterans participated in the attack?
I think anybody that's spent time in the military understands that there's definitely a group of folks out there that have spent time in the military that are looking to have community and feel like that their activities are almost definitionally patriotic. No, I wasn't surprised to find that some people had gone very far astray from what our understanding of the oath to the Constitution involves. And that I think I was maybe a little surprised at how many there were, some reporting as much as 20%, when, 7% of the U.S. population has a veteran status. So that means that veterans were overrepresented, and that is something that I find perhaps the most concerning of it all.
As the number of arrests keep going up, though, the percentage is starting to level off or decrease as we look at the more recent reports now. But, separated from that and the participation, Mike, were you ever worried that the U.S. military would stage a coup?
That's the one thing that I took a great deal of comfort in this tumultuous election season, to use a euphemism, which is that I had a high degree of confidence in the U.S. military, especially as I saw how close during the protests in Washington and how the military was used a little bit there. And then the military got uncomfortable and made very explicit ways to kind of back off from that. I didn't have as much confidence in other parts of our government, Department of Homeland Security, et cetera. But I did have a high degree of confidence with my sisters and brothers in arms.
What about you, Dr. Barkoff, former Navy SEAL? Were you ever concerned that the U.S. military had gone astray, that would, stage a coup?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with Mike 100% on that one. I never felt, and to that, even post-election, but prior to the January 6th, there was, a statement released by the Joint Chiefs, reminding active duty military members that their oath is, in fact, to the Constitution, and the Constitution is a living document, and it is not a single oath to the President of the United States. So, that kind of statement coming out of senior military leadership is number one and unprecedented, which shows the degree of the threat that that everyone recognized. But at the same time, it also speaks highly of our senior military leadership, who were very clear-eyed about where their duty lay.
We're talking with Dr. Dan Barkoff, who is a former Navy SEAL, president, founder of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Mike Smith is with us, executive director and in the U.S. Navy Reserve. Taking your questions, your insights, are you a veteran? What do you think about the number of veterans who participated in the attack on the Capitol? Do you think veterans were justified in trying to keep President Trump in office? 800-642-1234. Let's get insights now from Mark in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking the call. I'm a commissioned officer from the Vietnam era who served 1 year there. I was a little worried this summer when the chairman of the Joint Chiefs accompanied the president to the Bible-waving affair. But for the most part, I trust the military quite a bit. I know that the officers and men of the military take an oath to defend the Constitution. And with that, my feeling is that any veteran who's found guilty of participating in the insurrection that occurred on January 6th should be removed from any list of beneficiaries as a result of the military service. They broke their oath. They did not stand for the Constitution. And that's my comment.
Mark, thank you. Dr. Barkoff, breaking the oath would come with consequences in Mark's eyes.
Yeah, I think the gentleman who called is sort of right on. The oath that we take as military service members is similar to the oath that an elected official takes. We swear allegiance to the Constitution. We do not swear allegiance to an individual. For a while, that was unique in the world. Now other countries have similar oaths, but we don't tolerate the worship of the individual, and we don't suggest that an individual can take the place of government. Our oath is to our constitutional order.
Mike, how do you view the oath?
So first, before I answer that question, since you mentioned my status in the Navy Reserve, I need to put a disclaimer here, which is that none of my activities with Veterans for Responsible Leadership is reflective upon the Department of Defense or my status as a commissioned officer. Moving beyond that, I think the oath is fairly central to everything that you do here, and that's why that oath exists. That oath came into a great deal of existence based upon activities associated with the Civil War. And the fealty to the Constitution is central and it's defining about military service in the United States military. It separates us from all sorts of countries around the world that would actually have a reason to question why, if their military might be involved in a coup. And so I think it's an important thing. And I think one of the things that Veterans for Responsible Leadership is trying to do is to say that oath doesn't really expire. And it's not about an oath of violence, but it's an oath of service. And it's about that service goes to the constitutional order of this country and it is for life. It's important to me.
We are at the intersection of veterans and political division in our country. We have Mike Smith there, executive director of the nonprofit Veterans for Responsible Leadership, served 12 years in the Navy, and the founder of the group, Dr. Dan Barkoff. You can join in, veterans and active duty military. Where do you draw the line on being politically active as a member of the military? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we look at veterans and political activism and what it means to take an oath to defend the Constitution. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Authorities have arrested more than 280 people in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, according to CBS News' tabulating in recent days. Some of these people were veterans. And the group Veterans for Responsible Leadership is working to promote integrity and civility in our democracy and working to reach members of the military. Veterans, do you support the former president, or do you think he did damage to the country? Has the military become too politicized? 800-642-1234. Dr. Dan Barkoff is president of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Mike Smith is here, its executive director, and they stay with us. Let's bring in Gary now in Milwaukee. Gary, hi. What would you like to add?
Well, as a veteran, when we take oaths, and I took three of them because I spent 9 years in the military, I don't recall ever taking an un-oath when I left. And my whole philosophy is that the Constitution is what built this country, and I don't think anyone, unless they're elected, have the right to reverse that, especially somebody like Trump. I mean, what he did was way wrong. And for the people to follow that man to do what they did that day, I was appalled. I was totally appalled. But learning that that many veterans are involved, it doesn't surprise me because I've seen the yard signs all over the place before the election, Veterans for Trump. And I just, you know, that's their right, but not their right to overthrow a government that was duly elected.
Dr. Barkoff, your thoughts here, as, you know, Gary said he didn't take an un-oath.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think Gary is right on the money there. You know, the veterans have a unique role to play in our society, rightly or wrongly. People look to them and give them credibility because they, at least for some period of their life, were willing to kind of put self aside and serve in a unit to keep the country safe. And so, you know, what veterans say is given weight. And, you know, if you're a veteran and you're listening to this, you know, it's important to think about your service in those terms. There, you know, Gary's exactly right. There isn't an expiration date. You know, for the rest of your life, you know, people are going to be, you know, Joe Smith, U.S. Army, you know, they're going to pay attention when you speak. And that's a responsibility, and it's a duty. And so I think Gary's right on the money. Now, I do want to say, you know, to all you folks in Wisconsin, and especially the vets who supported Trump, you are not our enemies. You know, we have room in this discussion, this national dialogue. We didn't support Trump, but, you know, there's room for us to talk and for us to work together about the real problems that face this country.
Mike, I wonder, what drew you to the military? You're now an environmental entrepreneur, and you are executive director of this group. You work, you know, on the environment, which is very different from military service. What brought you into the military?
Yeah, sure. So I think anybody that joins has at least some small component of service. Whether that's high on the list or low on the list, it's in there. For me, when I first joined was actually in 1998. Though my biography says 12 years, I went to the Naval Academy starting in 1998. And at that time, the U.S. military was being used a lot for peacekeeping roles around the world. Mm. I thought that there was something very interesting about how we did, you know, how the Europeans talked a lot about the travesty of the war in Bosnia, and then the United States went and did something about it. And I think that is to our credit. And I feel like our country, in its use of the military, lost its way a little bit after 9/11. You know, but the other part of the military is about leading a life less ordinary. And I am eternally grateful for some of the opportunities that the U.S. Navy gave me, and for some of the experiences it had, and most importantly, for some of the people that I got to work with. Some really just amazing folks. And it really, one of the things I think is the real strength of the U.S. military is about its ability to bring people from all American walks of life, and foreign as well. People don't realize quite how many non-Americans are serving in the U.S. military in the enlisted capacity. But nonetheless, how we can brought all these people of different experiences together, and I got to work with all of them. And though it's not quite a true meritocracy, it's about as close as you get in this country. And I really appreciated that about my time.
Dr. Barkoff, you know, Mike saying they're leading a life less ordinary. You were a 21 graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, went on to serve for 8 years as a Navy SEAL. What drew you?
You know, I would echo some of the stuff Mike said. You know, for me personally, I was just always, it was just always something I was going to do. I mean, I remember being a little kid and playing guns in the woods with my friends kind of thing. And, you know, I was sort of only interested in West Point and the Naval Academy and really kind of wanted to, and, you know, to echo Mike, at the time, you know, things were very different. You know, I went to the Naval Academy starting in 97. And, you know, even when I graduated in 2001, this was still 4 months before 9/11. So, you know, we kind of got into the SEAL teams thinking, you know, maybe I'll go to Kosovo or something like that. But, you know, for our entire generation of military service, 9/11, you know, sure changed things. But I would agree with Mike. For me, it was kind of a way to aspire to something, you know, both more meaningful and kind of more important.
We're talking about military values with Dr. Dan Barkoff, who is president and founder of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Mike Smith with us as well, executive director, and looking more closely at what it means to be in the military, what the oath means, and taking your insights, 800-642-1234. Willie is joining us now from Madison. Hi, Willie. Go ahead.
Yes. I think we need to, when we talk about the whole myth of military non-intervention in the United States, we need to remember that our military has intervened in many, many, many different countries at the behest often of the civilian government, of course, but they've intervened in many places on Earth. You can even argue that 9/11 happened because of previous military interventions of all kind in the Middle East that angered some groups. We should also remember the incident that happened in the early 30s when the military, a group of officers, plotted to overthrow President Roosevelt and were only stopped because the leader that they hoped to enlist, Smedley Butler, strongly went against them and prevented it from happening. But they were worried that Roosevelt was a communist or a socialist or something and thought it should be their duty to overthrow them. When we talk about it, I think we also should talk about somebody like Anthony Herbert, who wrote a few books about how going to an all-volunteer military back when we did that is going to change our military profoundly and make it a lot more likely that the military might try to overthrow the government.
And Willie, I'm going to pause right there at your long look at interventionism. And Dr. Barkoff, what would you say to Willie?
A couple of, so first of all, great, great points, Willie. So the thing that's interesting to me is why that plot stopped, right? So there was this plot, it was called the business plot. It was back in the 30s and Willie's exactly right on the history. And so this Marine Corps general, Smedley Butler, said, no, we're not going to do that. And that is just fascinating. That is just powerful to me to think that, you know, an individual stood up for what is right and stood up for the constitutional order and was successful as a result of it. And that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, if you see folks, other vets who are struggling, other vets who are flirting with this kind of conspiracy or you know, behaving in extra legal ways, a lot of times the person they're going to listen to is you, you know, mm-hmm. that vet who knows them, that vet who can say to them, Hey man, or, you know, this is not right. This is not what we stood for. So I'm glad that Willie brought that up. It's a great story and it speaks to the power of the individual to stop people from doing evil.
Mike, what do you make of that look at, you know, interventionism around the world at the behest of civilian governments and echoes of that here on our home turf in the U.S.?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. the first part that I would say there is I would be very careful about trying to assign blame for September 11th to the U.S. I think that's dishonorable to a lot of people's memories. And so just gentle pushback. I understand where he was trying to go with that, but let's make sure that we hold the real people responsible for that committed that. Moving beyond that, I would say that in the military component, which is, we have to follow orders when they're illegal. Mm. And from a policy perspective, where we go is it's really the responsibility of the American public there, and that the military, as long as the orders are legal and just, have a duty to follow.
I'm going to pause right there, Mike Smith. Executive Director, Veterans for Responsible Leadership, Dr. Dan Barkoff, founder. We'll pick this conversation up right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the breach of the Capitol in January and a group working to diminish the growing political divide in the military and in our nation. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Veterans for Responsible Leadership is run by a bipartisan group of veterans who want to advance civility, advance integrity in our political system. In the wake of the Capitol attack, it's urging veterans to recommit to the Veteran Code of Conduct. Is it possible to place loyalty to our country above a political party? Are you active duty military? How do you feel about the insurrection? 800-642-1234. We have Dr. Dan Barkoff, who is a former Navy SEAL emergency medicine physician. He founded Veterans for Responsible Leadership in 2017. Mike Smith is here, serves as its executive director. They're with us for the hour. We heard from Mark, called in from Madison, couldn't stay with us. Mark says his concern lies in the level of military participation in white supremacist groups like the Oath Keepers. And he says the insurrection was bad, but there are splinter groups like this everywhere. Mike, how dangerous are far-right anti-government militia organizations and the conspiracy theories that really propel these organizations forward?
Yeah, they're about as dangerous as you can get. One of the things that, as the group is founded and focused on some of the corrosiveness in our political discussion, we came to realize that, and it's been said many times before, that Trump wasn't the disease; he was the symptom. And as we looked around, a lot of misinformation was helping to feed that. More disturbingly, as we looked at the plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer in Michigan, and the fact that there were two Marines that were involved in that plot, we came to realize about how important it is to deal with that threat, both on the misinformation side and then also on the defining what patriotism side is, and also finally on what it means to be a veteran. And that's why we released the Veteran Code of Conduct in December of 2020. To help give clarity to what it means to be an honorable veteran, about what to carry that oath into the future and what it means to be part of your community and to keep the respect that our communities give us.
Along this thread, let's bring in Emma now in Dunn. Hi, Emma. Go ahead.
Hello. I had heard that white supremacists are recruiting in our police forces and military forces, and I was wondering if you were addressing that.
Dr. Barkoff, can you address that?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, the short answer is yes. That stuff does occur amongst active duty ranks. And it's been that way for a while. I mean, this is a problem. This is not new to the military. This occurred in the 1990s. There were white supremacist organizations who are interested in the skills that soldiers and sailors and airmen might have, and want to use them for kind of nefarious ends. Certainly a veteran gets out and is engaged in illegal activity, that's a law enforcement issue as far as we are concerned. But where we can help and where, you know, the average citizen can help is to kind of, you know, question the media, question the, you know, the conspiracy theories that these folks get involved with. You know, if you're consuming nothing but, you know, fringe media that's kind of, you know, far out there talking about, you know, Venezuelan vote counties and long dead dictators and things like that. I mean, that defies logic. And that's, you know, the roots of kind of radicalization are in those lies. So our organization is trying to push back against not just, you know, of course we don't condone any illegal acts, but we also are very concerned with the media environment and how these things are given such sort of free rein.
What about the militarization piece of this? Veterans who have guns or veterans who have different types of, you know, weapons and how we look at an attack like this on January 6th?
Sure. Yes. I mean, you know, I own firearms myself. You know, I'm a... I've been comfortable around them my entire adult life. I like to target shoot. You know, the issue of gun ownership per se is not the issue facing the nation.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue of veterans having access to weapons of war is, you know, inextricably linked up in this stuff. And you know, this country needs to think seriously about whether folks who, you know, have decided that extra legal means of solving grievances is the way to go about business, if those people should have access to firearms. You know, if you if you're involved in a militia planning to you know, to kidnap an elected official or something like that, of course you should not be allowed to have access to firearms.
Let's bring in Dennis now in Westby with thoughts on this. Dennis, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 70-year-old Marine Corps veteran, and when I took that oath, I understood that court-martial and the brig was the reason or the result. If I got involved with civil law enforcement or broke that oath of honor to the Constitution, and I'm kind of wondering, are we having a soft leadership in our military and that we have active military doing this coup? And also, I think that the active military needs to take another oath to verify their oath of to the Constitution.
Dennis, thank you. Mike's, how would you feel that from what Dennis is saying there and the oath?
So I would actually commend the U.S. military here recently, which is that they have actually, to his point, there are certain branches of the military that are having their members have the oath readministered to them.
Hmm.
Just as a little bit of a reminder about like what they're doing here, why we all serve. The other part that I would add there is that the military has, and there's been a series of articles coming out about this within more military-focused media, about training against anti-extremism in its ranks. I would encourage the military to keep going with it, to take it a step further, to make this part of more of our identity. And as far as the brig comment goes, you have to be very careful about people's political rights, even though we are, well, when you're on active duty, you're subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And that there, that does put political restrictions into your speech. It doesn't eliminate them, and you do have the ability to participate. And so, again, this becomes a little bit more of a societal wide problem about like how far do we accept certain degrees of extremism? Mm. What is political speech that's within the bounds of norm versus, you know, what starts to border on too much. And for us, it's militant. It's militant extremism, which is advocate for anything that you want at the top of your lungs. But the moment that you start to take up arms, or even if it's in a demonstrative rather than actually violent way, against the Constitution, now we've got a problem.
We're talking with Mike Smith, who is Executive Director of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Dr. Dan Barkoff founded the political organization. We're looking at its work in fighting Trumpism, promoting U.S. military values with this pull of extremism. Taking your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Kerm is with us from Lady Smith. Hi, Kerm. Go ahead.
Hi. This program, to me, is like a breath of fresh air wafting over Trumpism. I'm located in rural Wisconsin. I'm a 1966 graduate of West Point. I've tried to live by the precepts of duty, honor, country. Unfortunately, I think some of my fellow grads singling out Pompeo must have slept through that class. But the point of it is, what I would like to know is how I can become affiliated with your organization. I have been an officer in five different veteran service organizations. I'm absolutely appalled by the number of veterans who buy into this crap of Trumpism and conspiracy theory. I would have to tell you folks, I love the call so far, but I'm the minority in the North Woods. And what you're saying is so absolutely critical, not just to the military, but to this, to the survival of this country. I know people who plan on doing something. I'm not sure what it is.
Kerm, I'm going to pause there, and Kerm calling from rural Wisconsin. Dr. Barkoff, how can Kerm get involved and find community in this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kerm, the best way to get in touch with us is to go to our website. It's vfrl.org, and you can contact us via email. But I'd also really like to thank you for your service. You know, West Point 66, I don't know that you were a Vietnam vet, though I strongly suspect you must have been with that kind of background. You know, the West Point classes of the mid and late 60s, you know, lots of casualties in Vietnam. And, you know, without getting too much into local details, you know, Wisconsin has a sizable percentage of Vietnam veterans. In fact, they have higher than the national average with Vietnam veterans, and about the national average for the current post 9/11 wars. But there's a ton of Vietnam guys up there, and I think, you know, whether you agree with us or not, I thank you all sincerely for your service.
We're talking with Dr. Dan Barkoff, who is founder of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. It's a political organization based in Vermont. Mike Smith is its executive director. What ethical code do you hope that military personnel and veterans live by? Should service members remain apolitical when leaving the military? Is it possible? 800-642-1234. Still time to talk. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with emergency medicine physician Dan Barkoff and Mike Smith. Dr. Barkoff founded the group Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Mike Smith serves as its executive director. It was born out of a Facebook group of veterans who were concerned about character deficiencies they saw in President Trump. Fast forward to today, and the organization is made up of thousands of veterans who want to advance ideals of civility, integrity, regardless of political affiliation. And they're with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in John now in Eau Claire. Hi, John. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Good morning, and thank your guests for their service. Military enlisted people went big for Trump in 2016 based upon his patriotism. And swearing an oath when you join the military or accept any office doesn't mean you give up your right to independently think. A lot of these people are very upset over political correctness and groupthink, which is brainwashing, which is rampant in all the military academies today. This is widely known, and you have to go along to get along, but a lot of people listen to it, reject it, they think for themselves. So let's not require people who are in the military or used to be in the military to give up their right to think independently and politically.
John, thank you. I'm going to pause there and bring Mike into this. Walking that line, that intersection of this oath and freedom of speech and individual thinking.
I would say that he's correct in that, and I mentioned this before, which is that you are an individual in the military, and this country does put value on the individual, as do I. And I would extend that to encourage him to rethink his position around political correctness, which is that the service academies are designed and officer training broadly is designed in order to teach people to lead. And that if you value the individual, you value the characteristics of that individual, and you learn how to keep from stepping upon that individual's dignity. And so the teaching of if he wants to term it as political correctness, but I would term it as respect. The teaching of respect to the service academies is intrinsic to military leadership, and the mission can't be accomplished without it.
I want to turn back to your group, Mike, Veterans for Responsible Leadership. How do you define responsible leadership? What does that mean?
So there's a few things about responsible leadership. One is that it's a code of behavior, which again we put into the Veteran Code of Conduct and can be found at veterancode.org. It's what we know of to be responsible leadership in demeanor. It's civility. It is earnestness. It is an adherence to the facts. But it's more than that. It's also about adherence to. In the context of political leadership, it's about adherence to constitutional principles. It's about that the government exists for the general welfare, as stated in the preamble of the Constitution. It's about making this country a more perfect union, as you know, President Lincoln said. It is about you know, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that we should be working collectively as a government, as a people, as a society, in order to achieve those outcomes. And though we may have policy differences, it is not acceptable to ignore the reason for our government in order to achieve some more political power. The reason for political power is to achieve those outcomes.
Dr. Barkoff, I understand that Veterans for Responsible Leadership plans to be more politically active in the 2022 elections. What will that involvement look like? Because you were active in this past election cycle with contributions.
Sure, absolutely. So we, you know, have when you use the term contributions, just, you know, we didn't contribute to any individual candidates in the last cycle. We did. Run a number of ads.
Ad money.
In a number. Yeah, exactly. So in 2022, you know, I think our mission is you know, kind of twofold. One, and probably the most exciting thing for us, is we're starting to have members talk about, you know, running themselves. So, you know, we've got thousands of members, and we've had a few even declare. In fact, one gentleman just declared he would like to run against Congressman Green down in Georgia, and we expect to play very heavily in that race. But you know, the other side of the coin is we think people who supported you know, certainly the insurgency, but also the frivolous lawsuits trying to overturn the election need to pay a political price. You know, there are several senators who and several many congressmen who signed the amicus brief for the Supreme Court trying to overthrow election results in other states. We intend to bring that to not let that slip from the public consciousness. So, you know, if you not supported Donald Trump as a politician, if you supported Donald Trump as a constitutional usurper, then you can expect to hear from us in 2022. We plan on reminding voters who exactly stood for the Constitution and who did not.
I just want to ask you, though, the Center for Responsive Politics is labeling you as a liberal super PAC in the 2020 elections. What do you make of that label?
Sure. So, you know, I'm certainly not a personally a progressive. I suspect that that label came from the fact that we spent all of our proceeds, so to speak, against Donald Trump. And we also participated in the Georgia runoff elections and had paid political advertising in the Georgia runoff elections for the Democratic senators. Now, if you look back at our endorsements, we did endorse Republicans. What we didn't do was endorse national Republicans. We endorsed many Republicans who stood on principle and stood up to Donald Trump. We love Adam Kinzinger. We love Phil Scott up here in Vermont. We love Mitt Romney, who is not on the ballot. We love Charlie Baker in Massachusetts, Larry Hogan in Maryland. These are Republican, elected officials who have stood on principle and stayed true to their oath, and will continue to support Republicans who do that.
We're talking with Dr. Dan Barkoff, who is founder and president of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Mike Smith is the group's executive director. Don is with us from Hilbert. Hi, Don. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to say, you know, we're the United States of America, and there's a lot of rhetoric in the fact that, you know, we need to be united and we need to set aside some of our private and maybe even personal things to, I mean, I wonder sometimes what some of the politicians do when they go home at night. What do their children and their grandchildren say to them? You know, those are the eyes and ears on the ground. I am also a veteran, and I would like to see this country come together. I would like to see somebody to vote for that we can trust. And that's a huge word that seems to be, you know, taken for granted nowadays. I also would like to know that we can, you know, our taxpayer dollars are going to use for the whole country, not just for private entities and stuff like that. So I guess I don't know what else to say, but
Don, thank you. Yeah, I want Mike Smith to jump in here on that word trust. Your final thoughts?
Trust is essential. It's a defining characteristic of good leaders, it is important. And when we look to unify the country, we have to remember that our democracy is fragile. I think we saw that on January 6th, and that every generation has to renew its commitment to our country and to its democracy. And so that means we need to learn to start trusting each other and to not seeing people that disagree with us on policy as the enemy.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Dan Barkoff, former Navy SEAL and emergency medicine physician, founder of Veterans for Responsible Leadership. Mike Smith serves as its executive director, was an officer in the Navy for 12 years, primarily as an F-18 fighter pilot. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This conversation comes to you on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.